Look at our budget. Look how heavy it is in maintenance as it is opposed to mission. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be a better balance. Sometimes the church focuses too much on what we don't have or our lack instead of the gifts that we have and what God has blessed us with. In Paul's day, he was dealing with a culture that was causing all kinds of problems in the church because the church was indulging in things like fornication, idolatry, greed, anger, abusive language, and so forth. And Paul is saying there is a better way. The things from above are things like showing compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience, forgiveness, gratitude, love, peace, forgiveness. These are the things above that Paul was talking about. How do our lives, how does our church reflect some of the things not from above in these days? Questions, hard questions we need to ask ourselves. And finally, Jesus brings it all home in this famous passage from Matthew 6, part of the Beatitudes. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus is saying, get your priorities straight. You need to get your priorities straight. Put God first in all things. Putting first things first in our spiritual lives. Is God taking first place? Are the things above primary in our life of faith? There are many ways to measure whether we are making God a priority in our lives. It begins with our church attendance. How often are we in church? Listening, growing, being inspired, being sent out into the mission field called Lewis, Delaware. Another way is how much time we spend in prayer. Are we spending time with God? I don't know about you, but I can always try to spend more time with God. How much is enough? Where am I serving God? Maybe another measure. Someone mentioned about having the same people doing all the work of the church. It's called the 80-20 rule. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. We need to change that. We need to change that so that it's the other way around. But probably the best measure of one's spirituality, their faith in God, and their trust in God is through their giving. It's through their giving. It is a tangible way that we can measure how much we trust God. And next Sunday, we're going to be asking everyone to make an estimate of their giving and to consider increasing their gift proportionately. How much should we give? I say give as God leads you, with the goal of tithing as your goal. You may not be able to do 10% this year, but you might be able to increase it by 2% or 3% or whatever. All we ask is that you give as God leads you, and that's between you and God. The best gauge of our spiritual maturity and trust in God is through our giving. You see, giving is a spiritual matter of the heart, not just a financial one. The question here is, what are our personal and church priorities? Do we have our priorities in order? Well, God's given us some help in discerning the vision. God has given us three scriptures to work with today. First of all, it begins with prayer. Amen? Do nothing, absolutely nothing, without praying about it. And I believe prayer has to encompass everything that we do when it comes to our life of faith. And inviting the Holy Spirit to guide us in our dreaming, our visioning process, be it for the church or individually. Paul reminds us that we make a conscious effort to focus on not things below, but things above, the things of God, not earthly things, but heavenly things, like showing compassion for the poor, like showing humility and patience and forgiveness in these sorts of things. And finally, Jesus said, seeking first the kingdom of God, putting God first, putting the things of God first in our lives. I want to share with you very briefly three things that your pastor would like to see in the year to come. And some of these have already been touched on, which warms my heart because that means we're thinking along the same lines. The first thing I'd like to see is to develop an organized and effective system for spiritual growth with multiple levels of small groups. In your bulletin today, you have a survey for a new program called Beginnings. It is an entry-level Christianity 101 that we're going to be offering in January. These are for people that either are new to the church, who are nominal Christians, or who have been in the church a while, but they need to know the basics of the faith. We just need to know what day, what time it's going to be best for you all. And then we move to intermediate studies, and then more advanced studies like Disciple. All three of these are part of a disciple-making process. That's what I'd like to see in our church, so that when somebody knows, how do you make disciples at Bethel Church? We say, level one is this, level two is this, level three is this. And we know where we can place people or recommend people to go for spiritual development and faith formation. Secondly, to implement a meaningful and hands-on, the key word here is hands-on, outreach program to the poor and needy of our community. Hands-on, what does that mean? You know, folks, we give a lot of money. We give a lot of money. Probably $50,000, $60,000 of our budget for missions and outreach to many different organizations and many different people in our community. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That means we're tithing. 10% of $500,000 is what? $50,000. But people need to see Jesus with skin on. And I'm proposing that we have a monthly meal for the community every month here at Bethel Church. That kitchen gets used maybe once a month, if that. It's sitting there waiting to be used. Why can't we have a feeding program here at Bethel Church every month, and maybe eventually every week, for the poor? And in case you haven't noticed, there are poor folk in Lewis, Delaware. Follow me around some week when I go to the hotels to put people up for housing, when we have to go buy gift cards for food, when we have to put them in shelters, when we have to take them to the Cape and Lopen food pantry and New Life Thrift Shop to get them clothes because they don't have enough money. They're living in cars. The poor are among us. And finally, I want to make our worship experience as vibrant and as inspiring and transforming as it possibly can be and what it was meant to be. And what I have in mind here is for technology of video and projection in the sanctuary. Ooh, more murmuring. No, we've heard that request from many people from 11 o'clock because they like this big screen. They can see the words. Why should they do without the message that they get at 9 o'clock, that you get at 9 o'clock? Well, these are just a few things. But the three most important things I think that we can accomplish in the year to come. I hope and pray that it is a shared vision that we can all say amen to. Now, next week is Commitment Sunday, as I said. And the question you'll be asked this week to consider in your prayers, how will we express our faith and grow in our generosity in the coming year? I ask you to pray for God's direction if you haven't already given your estimate. Pray about your past giving. Pray about what you can give. And let God stretch you a little bit. Put your faith in God and see what God can do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Joyce?
Would you stand and sing this last song with me?